Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. It's chilly out there, but it's still February. It's still winter here in northeastern Ohio. It was 12 degrees on my car thermometer when I pulled into the parking lot here at the station. That's cold. I didn't think it was supposed to get that cold tonight, but we had a snowy day today, at least where we were at, and at least 6 inches this morning that I scraped off from my truck. But yeah, light, fluffy snow. It looked pretty, and roads weren't too bad once you got out on the main road, and safe driving into church, and good day at church today. All in all, a good day, and glad you're able to be with us here tonight. If you're driving around tonight, be careful on the highways. There could be some slick spots here and there, and some spots where it snowed a little more than others, perhaps. But to just be careful driving around. If you're home, hope you'll give us a call tonight. You can give us a call. Our phone lines are open. 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air tonight with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Thank you for a good day today. Bless now, watch over us, Lord. We do pray that the things that we talk about tonight would be a blessing and would be an encouragement to somebody this evening. If there's somebody listening tonight that needs to put their faith in Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, we do ask that the things that we talk about tonight, that through your Spirit, you could use that to reach their heart and open their eyes to the truth of the Scriptures. And most importantly, the truth of the gospel message, that they might put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ tonight as their personal Lord and Savior. Bless now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, been a busy week this past week, and a lot of stuff going on. And last week, we were talking about creation versus evolution, and because of Darwin Day last week, the birthday of Charles Darwin, who popularized the theory of evolution. I say popularized because he didn't come up with it originally. It goes back thousands of years. And then just different things happening in the world around us, and certainly Friday. What a day Friday. Everybody was waiting for the asteroid that came, just a little over 17,000 miles approaching the Earth. And I remember I was listening some people talking about it, and they played a clip. A reporter on CNN was talking to somebody about it, and she actually asked if the asteroid coming toward the Earth might be a result of global warming. And I thought, where did these people come up with this stuff? But really, as a bolt out of the blue, was that meteor that came down in Russia on Friday morning, not at all connected with the asteroid. It just a coincidental event in terms of how man sees it. I don't think it's coincidental in how God sees it, because I think God allowed that to happen, get people's attention. The Bible talks about stars falling from the sky in Revelation chapter 6, and also a great mountain falling to, from the sky, I believe in Revelation chapter 8, as well as a star named Wormwood coming down in Revelation chapter 8. And, see things like this, as I said in our Friday program, Friday afternoons, we're, of course, on here at 1:30 until 2 o'clock. We have a half-hour program. And I was talking about that, said one of the women in Russia said that she thought it was doomsday at first when this meteor comes streaking through the sky. I saw some various reports, one of them saying it was about 90,000 tons in weight and roughly the size of the Empire State Building. And it blew up with the force of a 500 megaton bomb about 18 miles above the Earth's surface. And it shattered windows for miles around the area where it came down. I saw several security camera videos where you see somebody standing, and all of a sudden the light got real bright as this meteor was streaking in, and then you just saw the windows just blowing in. That's why these people were injured. Last I heard, there was over 1,000 people injured from mostly glass shards getting cut up from these windows coming in. And you can see why the woman thought it might be doomsday. And that was just one. And Revelation chapter 6 actually mentions about more than one. And let me turn here. I had it here a minute ago. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 13, it says, "And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind." Now, I've not seen a fig tree casting its untimely figs when shaken by a mighty wind, but I have a pear tree in my backyard, and it had been neglected for years, and I've been trying to prune it and trying to get it to produce. The first year it had two or three gnarly old pears on it and didn't look like it was going to do much. And the second year, a little bit more. Last year it had a whole bunch of them on there. And I shook it. And when I shook the tree, I mean, these pears were ripe and they just come raining down. And I remembered when I was traveling one time down in Georgia, I believe it was, and it was around pecan season when they were harvesting the pecan nuts. And they said that the way they did it is they had something that came and grabbed hold of the tree and shook the tree, and the pecans would come raining down on a canvas that they'd have spread underneath it. And so when you read about the stars of heaven falling like a tree, casting her untimely figs when shaken of a mighty wind, I can envision these figs on the tree, not quite ripe, so they're kind of hard, and the wind shaking the tree tremendously, and these things just raining down like those pears were raining down when I shook the pear tree, or pecans raining down when you shake the pecan trees with those big machines. And if you can imagine, that meteor that came crashing down exploded over Russia, and pieces of it come crashing down Friday morning. Imagine that repeated, only numerous, hundreds of them coming down at one time. Thousands of people injured by just one. And if it had struck the ground in its full size, it would have caused much more damage than what it did, but it exploded, as I said, about 18 miles above the earth, and as a result, it came down in smaller fragments. And but just think of the explosion there. You say, well, oh, wait a minute, everybody knows a meteor isn't a star. How can you say that the stars falling from heaven, that's poetic? Nobody believes that stars fall from heaven. Well, that passage there, you got to think about it. Back, you know, when John was writing this, they referred to stars, and the term, they used it for several things. And we have the stars, obviously the stars that we see in heaven. Obviously we understand those as stars, but there were other types of stars that they referred to as stars, but they gave them some qualifiers. excuse me, the word there for stars is aster or aster, and that's what we get like astrology or astronomy, astral bodies and things like that. We get that from this Greek word. And this word in variations was given to several things. Stars were pretty much fixed points in the heavens, and they followed a course. If you look out at night, as I was getting into the car tonight, I could see Orion, the constellation Orion, and the stars that make it up over top of my house, over top of the garage. And when I go home tonight and I get home pulling my driveway, it will have moved off and it'll be standing over a different area over past the end of my house over the trees. And so it follows a fixed path. But they had another group of stars that they called wandering stars. And wandering stars, they applied because they had certain bright lights in the sky that seemed to wander around. They didn't follow a fixed path like normal stars do. So they called them wandering stars. And that's where we get the term planets. The original term for them meant a wandering star. They kind of wandered around. And then they had another group of stars that they called hairy stars. And that's where we get the comets, called a hairy star, because as the comet approaches the sun, a streamer comes off the back as the solar wind blows away some of the methane and frozen carbon dioxide and frozen water and things begin to vaporize. And as that vapor streams off because of the solar wind as it approaches the sun, and then it reflects the light of the sun, and it looks like a big long streamer. If you could imagine a woman with her long hair streaming behind her in the wind, and so that's the term hairy star. And then there was another type of a star, and that's what we refer to the meteors as. And you've probably used the same term yourself, a falling star or a shooting star. And so when you see the Bible here in Revelation chapter 6 and verse number 13, talking about the stars of heaven falling, it's not talking about Rigel or Polaris or Alpha Centauri A or any of these stars crashing to the earth. I mean, the earth is a lot smaller than those stars are. We'd crash into them and it wouldn't even notice that we were there. But it's not stars like that coming down to the earth. It's talking about meteors striking the earth, and they come to the earth, and this is during the tribulation period. This is actually under the sixth seal of the seven-sealed book. And then in chapter 8, when the seventh seal is open, that's where we see two other types of stars coming to the earth, and that's in verse number 8, where it says in Revelation 8, verse 8, says, second angel sounded. Remember, when the seventh seal of the book is open, seven angels step forward and sound their trumpets. When the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. Now, if that asteroid that went by us on Friday went near the earth, had crashed into the earth, that would have been like a great mountain crashing into the earth. It would have leveled New York City if it hit New York City. It would have caused a profound effect. And so we have meteors hitting the earth in Revelation chapter 6. In Revelation chapter 8, we have an asteroid hitting the earth, I believe. That's the, as it were, a great mountain burning with fire and cast into the sea. And certainly in addition to the other destruction, there'd have been a massive tsunami. And then in verse number 10, it says the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and a third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And that sounds suspiciously like that one could be a comet crashing into the earth. And so I think that Friday gave us a little taste of those things happening. And if you want to talk about that or something else, you can give us a call here tonight. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and our telephone lines are open. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And I just wanted to share a couple of those thoughts with you here this evening as we get started. And pausing here a moment between topics, and I just want to mention that we've actually got a new sponsor for our radio program tonight, and we'll mention more after the break at the bottom of the hour, but just give a quick plug right here. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. East Coast Pizza is located at 4889 Turney Road, right across from the high school there. And the pizza's fantastic. I've had it before, and it's their own recipe. And East Coast Pizza is the home of the homemade pizza, and they got calzone, stromboli sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese foods, all kinds of stuff. And if you stop by East Coast Pizza, or you can give them a call, 216-341-9100, that's 216-341-9100, and you mentioned that you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al, or just mentioned Live with Pastor Al, and Gus there at East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights will give you a medium one-topping pizza for $5 if you just mention hearing about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And we'll talk more about that again, and he's got another offer there as well we'll mention after the break. But check out East Coast Pizza there on Turney Road right across from the Garfield Heights High School, and mention that you heard about him here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Well, you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Telephone number 888-677-9673, and we can get you on the air here tonight. We'd love to hear from you if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. You can give us a call toll-free, and we'll get you on the air. Looking at a couple of other things here tonight, and thinking about having talked about Darwinism and evolution and such not last week, and maybe continue a little bit on that theme here right now. Of course, if you've got a question about something else, we'll move on to another topic as well. But idea of evolution, when it first came about, was only supposed to explain the origin of the species. And, so we've got that there, and people were saying that evolution wasn't to be applied to anything else. And then, of course, it was also supposed to give us the idea of how life came to be initially, and how, life came from non-life. And I can remember in biology in high school, and then even we repeated it in some of my biology courses in college, where we studied some of the things that people used to believe. And one of the things that we looked at was the idea of what they called spontaneous generation. And that literally was if you left a pile of rags in the corner, it would spontaneously produce mice. And people used to believe that. They also taught that if you left a piece of meat sit out, it would spontaneously produce maggots. And they really believed that. And there was a number of varieties on that. And, of course, Louis Pasteur was one of the ones who helped disprove that. He had a famous experiment where he made some glass bottles or flasks that were made so that they had an airlock on them of a sort. Maybe I should say more like an air trap. If you ever looked under your kitchen sink or your bathroom sink, you see that kind of S-shaped underneath there where it goes down and then it makes a curve and it goes back up a little bit and then it makes another curve and goes back down again. That provides an airlock, and there's a good reason for that. If it just went straight down, the odors down your pipes would just come right up there and out the drain of your sink and into your kitchen or bathroom, and you don't want that. So they have that thing, and it blocks the air from coming through because it traps water down inside of that that downward curve there. And he did something similar where it would trap air down in the bottom curve so that outside air would not go into the flask. He loaded the flask with a broth, kind of like a soup, basically, and he boiled it so that there would be no bacteria in it. Because the idea was if you left a broth or soup just sitting, it would spontaneously produce bacteria and microorganisms, one-celled animals and things like that. And he set that on the shelf and in these flasks so no outside air could get in. It was sterile on the inside, and they sat there, and guess what? Nothing grew in it. And they let them sit for weeks and nothing grew. They let them sit for years and nothing grew. Now, if you would have went over there and blew into the flask, you would have blown outside air and you would have introduced bacteria and other microbes, and then they would have started growing in there and it would have got cloudy and everything like that. And so he helped disprove this idea of spontaneous generation, and it was disproven However, the evolutionists resurrected it because they needed to explain where life came from. And so they said non-life was spontaneously generated life. And, of course, it went back further. Then they had to decide, where did the universe come from? And I like in Hebrews chapter 11, where in Hebrews 11 and in verse number 3, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that
Christian Talk, AM 1220, the word.
Things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And that's a scientifically accurate statement, because you don't see the subatomic particles that make up the atoms, that make up the molecules, that make up the things that we see. When you look at your house, you see the walls, and you see the floors, you see the ceiling, you see the doors. You don't see the subatomic particles that make all those things. Things which are seen are not made of things which do appear, but it doesn't say they're made of nothing. In fact, there's only one source of nothing becoming something, and that's in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth in Genesis chapter 1. And that's when something was created out of nothing, because God is that first cause, and God brought everything into existence. Well, you're listening live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673, and I believe we have John waiting. And John, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Hello? All right, do we have John there? Not getting John right now. If you can get him through, John, if you hear me, go ahead and say something, and I'll hear you, and then I'll pick you up here. But while we're waiting to straighten out the call there, it's kind of interesting. People say, well, you know, we got to get around the first law of thermodynamics that says the amount of matter and energy in the universe is constant. And because it's constant, you can't lose it, you can't gain it. And it's constant. And, oh, I'm sorry, Ruth on line one, maybe that's my fault there. Ruth, are you with us? Hello.
Hello.
Hi, welcome. Just had a little trouble getting to you there tonight.
That's
welcome.
Okay. I'd like to ask a question.
Yes.
When Jesus said, in my Father's house, there mm-hmm. are many mansions.
Oh, yes. John chapter 14.
Okay. And I've always wondered, mansions, sometimes I think maybe it's like a big, big place, but then are they individual maybe buildings or something like that?
Yeah, let's take a look at that in
okay.
John chapter 14, and starting in verse number 1, and this is actually one of my favorite passages. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And word for mansions there, it has to do with a residence, a place where we will live. You know, mm-hmm. from our standpoint, we tend to think, you know, the big mansion on the hill. But if you look at the idea in the Hebrew culture, when a young man would get engaged to a young lady, they mm-hmm. had a period of their engagement, and during that time, he would go back to his father's house. And he would prepare at his father's house their residence, where they're going to live okay. after they got married. And then when the place was ready, he would come for his bride, okay. And he would receive her and take him to dwell in that place that he prepared for her. And the interesting thing with that is that when you read in the book of Revelation in chapter 20, where you read about the New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, prepared by God. I believe that's where the mansions are that we're talking about, because when John is shown the New Jerusalem, he's told he's going to see the bride of Christ, where the bride, you know, he's going to be shown the bride, uh-huh. and he's shown where the bride lives. And you and I, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and any of the listeners that have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, we collectively make up the bride of Christ that are going to be caught up to be with him in the Father's house. And in Revelation, that new Jerusalem comes down from the Father where it's being prepared, and it comes down to the new heaven and the new earth. And that's going to be our dwelling place. And in a sense, you might look at the word mansions like a residence, like a luxury, almost like a luxury apartment in a sense. That's kind of what it means there. But mansions in the terms of it'll be a wonderful place prepared with everything that we need, everything that we could want. Just like you would think of the mansion on a hilltop. I mean, I love that song, "A Mansion on a Hilltop." But I think that mansion is our residence, where you're going to have your residence in that New Jerusalem, and I'm going to have my residence in that New Jerusalem, and every born again believer is, because we make up the bride of Christ, and it's exciting to think that God right now is preparing that for us.
I mean, exactly.
That's exciting, and. That's why it's one of my favorite passages to think about that.
All right. And thank you so much, Pastor.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm glad you called about that. I appreciate that. And thank you so much for the call. And again, if you've got a call or a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. Or coming up on our break here in just a minute or so. But we've got another half hour. We'll be on until midnight tonight. And I'll tell you, that study of that mansion, you compare there in John chapter 14 with the end of the book of the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible there in chapter 21. It's exciting to read about the mansion in heaven that God is preparing for His children. And if you'll trust Christ as your Savior, you can have that place being prepared for you as well. Stay tuned. Got another half hour to go.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And we'll be on until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And, of course, we're brought to you tonight by not only the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, but by Frank's Antiques, Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday noon until 5:30 p.m. And you can contact Frank at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton by calling 440-237-4393. That's 440-237-4393. And let Frank know that you heard about Frank's Antiques in North Royalton right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you're looking for any kind of unusual collectible or old military items, old jewelry, coins, just about anything, including the kitchen sink, he's probably got it. And so why don't you check out Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. We're also sponsored by our new sponsor, East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. East Coast Pizza is located at 4889 Turney Road. That's right across from the Garfield Heights High School. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights is the home of the homemade pizza. And East Coast Pizza has calzones, stromboli, sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, and more. And as I said, it's located on Turney Road there, right across from the high school. You can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Mention Live with Pastor Al, and you can get a one-topping medium pizza for $5. That's a medium pizza, one-topping pizza for $5 if you mention that you heard about East Coast Pizza there in Garfield Heights right here on Live with Pastor Al. And that's East Coast Pizza across from the high school. And if you are interested in opening your own pizza shop without the high franchise fees, you can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus and ask how you can get started with your own pizza shop for under $50,000. And you can get started where you're at. You don't have to be in Cleveland. You don't even have to be in Ohio necessarily. But if you're interested in getting started without the high franchise fees, call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. Ask for Gus, and he'll help you get started. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, home of the homemade pizza on Turney Road, right across from the high school. And mention Late Night Live with Pastor Al or Live with Pastor Al and get a medium one-topping pizza for $5. And do want to welcome our new sponsor there, East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. And I tell you, they got great pizza. People in my church will attest to that. Most of us have had some of their pizza. It's fantastic. It's their own recipe. It's not mass-produced. It's their own recipe. The sauce, the dough, everything, their own recipe. And so appreciate their support. Appreciate Frank's Antiques, his longtime support as well there at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. And, you know, it's the support and prayers of people like Frank at Frank's Antiques and Gus at East Coast Pizza that make this program possible, and certainly the prayers and support of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, but also the prayers and support of people like you. We appreciate your prayers. Pray for us. And that's what helps us to be able to stay on the air more than anything else. And we're glad we don't have to get on the air constantly begging for money, because God answers your prayers to take care of us. We appreciate that. And, of course, you can give us a call tonight if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And that telephone number that you can give us a call at, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Toll free. We'll get you on the air right away here tonight. And again, we were talking before the break. Caller was asking about mansions in heaven. And I was talking about how mansions in heaven, the mansions that are talked about in John chapter 14, in Revelation chapter 21, we can find out more about that. And you know, you think of the description of that heavenly Jerusalem, that new Jerusalem, that come down comes down from God, prepared for by God, and it's our dwelling place. It's a fantastic place that the Bible gives us the dimensions in Revelation chapter 21 as 12,000 furlongs wide, 12,000 furlongs long, and 12,000 furlongs high. That equates to about 1,500 miles. Now, 1,500 miles from where I'm sitting right now, just south of Cleveland, Ohio, is roughly almost to the border between Colorado and Utah. That's a long ways, past Denver, Colorado, into the mountains and into the Intermountain West, and a tremendous distance. And you say, how could that be? Well, I personally think it's going to orbit above the earth, over the new earth, in the new heaven and the new earth, there in Revelation chapter 21. It's a city where the streets are described as being made of pure gold, transparent gold. Say, how can you see through gold? Well, if you remember the Apollo astronauts, when they went to the moon, their visors on their space helmets were coated with a thin layer of pure gold. They looked out through pure gold to protect them, and then garnished with all manner of gemstones, and God himself dwelling in that city, and the light of God shining forth, a beautiful golden and multicolored light radiating down on that new earth, got to be a fantastic sight. And the only way you're going to get there is if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-888-677-9673. And we have Joyce, I believe. And Joyce, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Yes, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening. I have a couple questions, mm-hmm. if we have time.
Oh, sure.
One of the questions I had was about the Pope stepping down.
Uh-huh.
And I was listening to one of the prophecy preachers, and he was talking about this person named Malachi.
Yes.
That was years ago, I guess, that was in involved in a Catholic church that had prophesied, and it seems that what it was about, evidently several of his prophecies have come true, and what he was saying was that this new pope that's coming in would probably be the last pope,
mm-hmm.
because of the fact, especially if he gives himself the name of Peter.
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah, in fact, I had been reading about that, and not being Catholic myself, I know a whole lot about it, but I heard some people talking about it too, and mm-hmm. I remember when John Paul II was ill, and just before he passed away, and around that time, before Pope Benedict became Pope, they were right. talking about this as well, and apparently, what it is Malachi. He lived in the 12th century in Ireland, and mm-hmm. He was the Archbishop of Armagh, and that's in Northern Ireland. And he was active there in bringing the Irish church more in line with Rome, and mm-hmm. He made this prophecy about the popes, and he had a list of 112 phrases that described each of the Roman Catholic popes, beginning with Pope Celestine II, who was elected in 1143. Now, remember, Malachi was in 1142 or thereabouts when he made this prophecy, and I don't put a whole lot of stock in any prophecy other than what
right.
comes out of the Bible,
mm-hmm.
but I do know this. The devil has been studying the Bible for a long time, and I'm not mm-hmm. trying to say Malachi was the devil. Don't get me wrong mm-hmm. on that, but what I'm saying is the devil has been studying the Bible longer than any prophecy teacher or preacher alive today. He's been mm-hmm. studying it from the very beginning, and he has been watching history unfold from the very beginning. And I believe that he's been trying to even guide history according mm-hmm. to his own purposes as much as he can And so when we look at this, I can see where, you know, he could have maybe guided some of this prophecy, but we don't know exactly where it came from. But but he made these predictions, and it all was to come down to the next pope after Benedict the what is he, Benedict the 16th, I think he is. Yeah, Benedict the 16th. He is supposed to be the last pope, and like you said, Peter the Roman. Mm-hmm. And during his reign, there's supposed to be the destruction of the city of Rome. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, this has got a lot of people talking. And there's another one which I didn't find out much information about. Supposedly, there's a place where the portraits of the popes hang, and there's supposedly only room for one more on that wall, too. But the interesting thing with this is on the recent popes, going back to Pope John the 23rd, mm-hmm. who was pope from 1958 to 1963, mm-hmm. There was a statement made about him that translates to Pastor and Marine, Pastor et Nata, I think in Latin, because it was written in Latin. Mm-hmm. And prior to his election of pope, he was the Patriarch of Venice, which is a marine city. And, you know, the mm-hmm. gondolas and everything going up and down the canals.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next pope, he had written Flos Florum, the flower of flowers. Mm-hmm. And Pope Paul the VI, who was pope from 1963 to 1968, his papal coat of arms displayed three lilies. Mm-hmm. And you got to be careful with some of this too,
yeah,
because you know,
but it's something to look at.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, you know, President Lincoln was killed in riding in a Ford. You know, I think it was a Lincoln, which uh-huh. is a Ford. And Lincoln, President Lincoln, was killed in Ford Theater. Oh, coincidence? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you know, they were both shot in the head.
Right.
So sometimes we make things coincidences, but this is, it is interesting. Pope,
it is because of the times that we're living and all that we're seeing now. But the other question was, you know, the Bible talks about two battles during the time of the tribulation.
Right.
In Armageddon and Gog and Magog.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering where you felt that, which one, you know, it's Armageddon, like in the middle of the tribulation, or Gog and Magog last, or how do you feel that they fall?
Actually, I think that there's three battles that we have to look at. And the first one is in Revelation chapter, let's see here, chapter 5, I believe, or chapter 6, that's right, chapter 6, where they open up the seals on the seven sealed book, mm-hmm. and actually Jesus opens the seals, and it says when the second seal was opened in verse 3, and I heard when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see," and there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. And so we have a I think, war there, actually more than three, if you want to get down to it. But I think that war might very well be the Ezekiel 38 and 39 battle that you see prophesied back there.
Right.
Now, the war, what we call Armageddon, it does not take place until the end of the tribulation period. See, this this battle with the red horse that may possibly be Ezekiel 38 and 39 prophecy there, that takes place at the beginning of the book of Revelation.
Well, you think that would be Gog and Magog?
Yeah, and that's where we read about Gog and Magog. But those names will appear again later on in Revelation.
Because it seems that there's one that is going to take like 7 months to, what is it?
Yeah, and it talks about that, I believe, in Ezekiel 38 or 39, the cleaning up from that.
And then it's something that's going to take 7 years.
Well, there's the 7 years of the tribulation period.
And, yeah, I know.
Yeah, at the end of that 7 years is where the Battle of Armageddon takes place. And that we come to Revelation chapter 19. And in Revelation chapter 19, the forces of the Antichrist are arrayed against Jerusalem. And that's where the Bible talks about the blood running to the depth of the horse's bridles through the valley.
Right.
And that's where Jesus comes back in Revelation chapter 19. And he comes back, and you can read about it also in the Old Testament in Zechariah chapter, 14 there. And talks about him defeating the armies of the Antichrist.
Okay, then, so there's no name then that's given the last battle after Satan is loose.
Now that's the next one I'm going to get to. And that we see Gog and Magog mentioned again. And this Gog and Magog would not necessarily be the same Gog and Magog of Ezekiel chapter 38, but it is designating the areas that they came from. And Gog and Magog equate to up and around Russia and up in that area.
Right.
And in Revelation chapter 20, you see this battle. See, after the Battle of Armageddon, the devil is bound for 1,000 years.
Right.
And then after the 1,000-year reign of Christ is over, he's released for a short time out of his prison.
Right.
And that's where it says in Revelation 20, verse 8, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. And that battle is wrapped up in verse 9. It's kind of interesting.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That
it just says fire comes down from God out of heaven, devoured them. That's it.
But isn't that amazing, even with Satan bound, how people will follow after Satan once he's loosed?
Well, and exactly. He's been bound for 1,000 years. And see, we need to remember that the people who survive, physically survive the tribulation, they'll still have a sin nature like we have today.
Right. Right.
And they will physically survive, the people who come to Christ during the tribulation, and they physically survive the judgments and catastrophes and wars and battles.
But with Christ ruling,
exactly,
and with the earth going back to like its original state,
right, much like it was before the flood and things, and in that time they're going to have children. And their children are going to have the same sin nature that we have today.
Right.
And they're going to need to come to Christ and put their
faith
in him.
And they can't say Satan made me do it.
Right, exactly. Their own sin nature. Remember the comedian back in the 70s?
Yeah,
like Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it.
Wow.
Yeah, the devil gets a lot of credit for things I think that we do ourselves. You know, we did it ourselves. The devil gets all the credit a lot of times. We did it ourselves. It's like the little boy that wanted some of the cake, you know, and he knew the devil was tempting him, so he said, "Well, get thee behind me, Satan, and give me a push."
I'm not going to hold you because someone else might want to call.
But I appreciate that call, and those are interesting things to look at here. We think of there's a lot of history in the Bible yet to happen.
Right.
And we're going to be eyewitnesses of it. If you've trusted Christ as your heaven, you'll be there watching.
Yeah, right. Isn't that wonderful?
It's exciting.
I can't wait.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
So, well, amen. Thank you very much for your call tonight. Have a blessed week. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. We have, I believe, Ray on the next line waiting. And welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Hi, good evening.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air with us tonight. Welcome.
Okay, my name's Gary.
Oh, Gary, I'm sorry. We're having a little trouble with our system here tonight, and I'm not always getting the names here. Glad to have you with us tonight.
That's fine. God bless you.
God bless.
Me and my mom and my sisters had a few arguments here for a while. Why is it that some people believe that the Sabbath day is Saturday, and some people believe the Sabbath day is Sunday?
Well, let me just make that real clear real quick. The Sabbath day is Saturday, but let me specify. It's from actually Friday night at sundown until Saturday at sundown. The evening and the morning were the first day, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1. And the Sabbath is the seventh day. And the seventh day would be the equivalent in the week of Friday at sundown until Saturday at sundown. Now, Saturday evening, the Sabbath ceases, and Saturday evening at sundown becomes the first day of the week, and that, of course, then through Sunday at sundown. But the Sabbath has never ceased to be the seventh day. It's a confusing thing because a lot of people refer to Sunday as the Christian Sabbath. It's not. Sunday is the first day of the week, and Christians in the Bible met and worshiped on the first day of the week. You can see that in the book of Acts. They engaged in preaching, giving tithes and everything, and they engaged in the Lord's Supper and all that on the first day of the week, and in celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ on the first day of the week. The Sabbath was actually specifically a sign between God and the Jewish people as a evidence of their covenant with Him. And if people want to observe the Sabbath, they can. As Christians, we're freed from the ordinances of the law, because of the cross of Christ, and we're under grace now. And unfortunately, we're running out of time quickly here. And maybe if you get a chance, you can call me next week and early, a little earlier in the show. We can go into it in a little more depth. I've had to really kind of gloss over quite a lot there. But so I guess in order to answer your question real quick, the Sabbath is the seventh day of the week. The first day of the week is the day of the Lord, a different day entirely. And really shouldn't be called the Sabbath, but and you could worship on any day of the week. Seventh-day Adventists like to say you got the mark of the beast if you worship on the first day of the beast, and then some of them will have a service on Sunday night after the sun goes down. That's the first day of the week, and or on Saturday night after the sun goes down. That's the first day of the week, and they get it confused, and unfortunately, time's sake, we don't have time to go much more detail there, but hopefully that helps you out for a little bit right now.
Okay, I appreciate you.
All right, appreciate that. Thank you for your call, and we got just a couple of minutes left here, and we'll take our next caller if we can get on real quick. I think it's Jane. And Jane, are you with us? Oh, we lost her. Who do we got next? We got somebody else calling in, and Rick, we'll take you. You're up next, I think.
All right.
Hi, yeah, welcome.
Hello.
Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Well, thank you, Pastor Al. What would be the best way to have someone present the Philadelphia Confession of Faith as a class at a local church?
To present what?
The Philadelphia Confession of Faith, the need to go over as a congregation.
The best way to present it, I guess, is to get a hold of a good copy of it. Maybe we don't exactly use the Philadelphia Confession of Faith in our church. I'm pastor of an independent Fundamental Baptist church I've seen some of these things like the Westminster Confession and things like that, and I know a lot of churches use some of them. I would suggest getting a good copy of it and, going through it point by point and buttressing it with the scriptures, because everything ought to be based and rooted in the Word of God. Hopefully that helps you a little bit there.
Situation. I want to present that.
All right. Well, yeah.
Leadership doesn't seem to make it as important.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't know too much about that particular confession, but we're out of time tonight. I appreciate your call. And anything that we teach in church has got to be rooted in God's Word. And that's the final say in our faith and practice, not a confession of faith that man wrote, but the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, the faith that Jude said that he wanted to earnestly contend for. We're out of time. God bless. Have a great week. Join us again next week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word.